entertain an idea or thought to ask this particular vendor who's present for details or explanation, if you'd like, or I can sit down with him and review it.
Is that per shower, or is that, well, no. I don't remember, are we just doing one shower at this point, or are we doing,
no.
Well, I don't remember, it was all the bids, it was for all showers, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Would you like me to go through this so we'll all be...
Would it be, for time's sake, good for Ron to go meet with him and just make sure that he has extras and we understand the process, or?
Let me hit the notes very quickly, okay. If I could. The inclusions, it says, and this is what has come through with the bid, is to furnish and install a total of 28 Space Saver shower heads with nozzles. If all 28 shower heads do not require replacement, our price to replace each shower head is $390. Note B, add $360 to base bid to move and replace four shower drain to accommodate flooring changes for one level two cell block shower as shown on A2, removal of drain and pan by others. Ron, the recommendations that I have here in my hand, this information came from us, did it not? That went out and then they filled in the... Okay. I'll pass this through to you guys rather than read it.
That's the blank form, and this vendor has completed that correctly. It might be the wiser thing to do might be to set a time certain for a final decision, and between now and then allow this responder, this vendor, to... communicate with the architect. I invited her to attend the bid opening this morning as well, Joan Hand. It's her specifications that were included in the RFP. It may be to our best interest to have this gentleman or his company or his representatives hook up with her, if that's appropriate. I think a commission can rule on that. Without any other responses, I don't see that it wouldn't be appropriate. They've shown interest.
Well, I think that you probably ought to get with the vendor and maybe even visit with Jimmy.
Right.
On this issue, and then come back to us, and we'll have a specific time that we'll talk about this.
Well, okay.
There's some things that probably, like you said, the architect needs to go with them, talk to them about what's...
Let me ask you a question. Based upon the bid specs that we put together and that we put out, I know that you just glanced at this, but I want you to go through it again. I want you to tell me if they've complied with and are furnishing what we asked them to furnish. That was what was compiled by the architect with the sheriff's input originally, correct?
Right.
So I think if that question's answered, then we have a handle on whether or not we have a bid that meets our requirements.
Ron, I don't disagree with
you.
Exactly,
I'm not suggesting we do exactly what you said. I was just, we need to know if this fulfills what we asked for.
Right.
And that's a part of what I'm asking him to do.
And the reason I said something about visiting with Jimmy is because I'd talked to him about this issue, and he thought there was... certain degree of the amount of grout and everything as the pans were taken out that were tapered back to the drains and all those things.
Well, I would, and again, I'm not trying to talk out of school here or anything, but we have a couple different entities involved here. We have an architect, we have the sheriff himself, we have maintenance. And I've talked with all those people before we put this bid out. Obviously, my mission is to have the specs right, and that's one of the bigger challenges on a complicated project like this. So I had input from the architect and from maintenance and talked to the sheriff as well. It may behoove us to have this gentleman visit with all three. If we can handle certain grout work at within house via our maintenance people, and have this plumbing company help us with these adjustments to the nozzles and correct the problem in that fashion, then I would suggest that we have a meeting in that sense and try to resolve it in that way and then bring a recommendation back to you all after that.
My question to you is, can that be done by 1 o'clock today?
No.
1:15?
Yeah, well, sure, 1:15, perfect.
That's my main concern, is that everybody's on the same page when this thing, then the county commission understands and will let the bid, understanding that the job will be done according to the specs and what everybody's anticipated view of this project is.
Can we schedule you back to the county commission then on Tuesday?
I think we could by Tuesday. My concern about trying to get it done any sooner is obviously these folks, these other participants who aren't here right now must have a busy schedule, because I really expected to see a few of them at least, but I can hook up with Joan Hand and with Sheriff Russell and also with Renee.
Can you do that by Tuesday?
Yes.
Would you have Nikki then put this on our schedule for Tuesday, and we'll hear from you then regarding your recommendation?
Tuesday afternoon? Yeah, please.
I'm sorry, I didn't even look to see you sitting there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty focused today.
Motion to move to a definite time of scheduling of Tuesday afternoon by our Nikki?
1:15.
Right. Second. Motion been made and second to postpone to the definite time of 1:15 next Tuesday. And then it's our hopes that a decision will be forthcoming at that time. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Mr. Erickson, thank you.
Go ahead. I'll be in touch with you.
Did you have any comments that you would like to make about what was offered? And if you do, would you come up to the podium? Because since you're here, this would be the excellent time for us to hear from you.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be happy to. The shower issue, the way I understand it, is all relevant to the angle of the shower head that seems to be spraying out too far. And I haven't seen it, so I can't speak, but they did a great job putting together pictures and all. And what we have proposed is to change all 28 of those shower heads. However, the reason I gave you the option to just do one, because the verbiage in the directives were, if this doesn't work, do something else. And I thought it might be a good idea to put one of them on and then try it and then see if we can, if it's going to work for all 28, or if we need to do 14 of them, or whatever we need to do. The only thing that's a little unclear is the drain question. Some of them, apparently on the second floor, there's a metal pan underneath some epoxy flooring that may have to be removed if even the new head doesn't work, if it still gets splashing out into the approaching areas. Then that drain pan will have to be taken up, and that's where our part gets a little bit unclear. We would be responsible for putting a new drain in there at maybe a new location, but when you were asking Ron about the completeness of the bid, you know, I could see some other need for like flooring, tile people, flooring people, grouting people, you know, that would come in maybe after our drain was moved, you know, to accommodate the, and I'm sure Ron is aware of that too, but that's a little bit on the lack of completeness maybe.
Let me ask both of you, would you have time this morning if the opportunity presented itself and Mr. Erickson could arrange it to do an on-site visit?
Sure, I'll be happy to.
And take a
here.
Look at this, and then we would have some latitude and flexibility, since this is the only bidder, perhaps, to work with him to identify exactly what we want to do come next Monday.
Certainly.
If you could wait till we go through a couple of other items with Mr. Erickson, then he will work with the Sheriff's Department.
Could you state your name for the record and your company so we can get it in the minutes?
My name is Kent Brousseau. I'm with Kimberling City and Branson Plumbing Companies.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay, the next bid that we had due this morning is number 201201-163 for corrugated steel culverts. And Mr. Randy Hayes is here with us this morning to assist me with this. I've received three responses. The first one is from Metal Culverts Incorporated out of Jefferson City. Here we go. It looks like they've completed the sheet correctly. It is signed. And the total cost to the county.
Why don't you review those and bring us back a number? Although we have someone present, I guess, from...
Yeah.
But they
didn't... put a price, unless I'm blind. I don't see a price on that one. The second one is from West Pipe Company. In El Dorado Springs. Okay. What the first one did is instead of filling in the blank on total price, they filled in the prices per different sizes as detailed on the specs on the bid itself. So we'll have to compare those separately. And it looks like I have the same thing here from West Pipe, except they did give us a total of $17,777. And the last one that I received this morning, and this gentleman is present from Vibrock in Sedalia. He has given us a total of $16,819.80 from Vibrock.
How long before you can compile and we can award, Ron? Do you think you get something later on today?
Yes.
You want to do it Tuesday? What do you want to do?
We can do this right away.
Yeah, we can have this for later today.
Yeah. All right.
Can we squeeze
us in?
Motion to postpone to a definite time of 1 p.m. February 16th, the awarding of the steel culverts.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Motion has been made and seconded, postponed to the definite time of 1 p.m. The bids regarding steel culverts discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. You'll come back then with a recommendation.
Yes. Thank you.
We'll squeeze that in just before exec session.
Can you make those bids available to the gentleman that drove down here to let him look at and see what all has been proposed?
Sure. Yeah. Radio equipment?
Radio equipment. The last bid I have for this morning is number 201202-166, radio equipment. And here again, I've received one response to this, and this is a somewhat of a unique situation. you know, my background in law enforcement, I contacted all the radio people that I knew and made direct bid invitations on this as well. There was only a few, three or four, and received one response. And I think this entire situation, this project has to do with a federal mandate to upgrade equipment, according to the sheriff. So, again, I leave it to you all whether or not to proceed with this one bid or relet it. I don't see that it would serve any purpose to relet it. If it did, I would tell you that.
I think you should proceed.
Proceed. Well, this was received from RCS, Radio Communications Specialist in Springfield.
Is this the same company that's bid on other proponents of this?
Yes.
The COPS grant?
Yes.
Okay.
And their total cost, if all the paperwork is completed correctly and signed, is $11,790.85. 11790.85.
Do you need to review any paperwork, or should we award it?
I don't think there's any need for that. I mean, if you'd like, I can check with the sheriff, but I would recommend that we award.
Motion to award radio equipment grant, whatever number that is.
To RCS.
RCS.
Okay. I'll second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded to award this morning's bid process to RCS for the radio equipment as bid. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. That's all I have, unless you have questions for me.
No, sir.
No, I know that you're going to work with Randy, but I'll remind you about the gentleman here, and hopefully we can set something up with the Sheriff's Department. Thank you, Ron.
Yep, thank you. See you at 1.
Again, sir, we appreciate your taking the time to do this for us today.
Thank you.
Yes, I have it. This is the first thing that we had this morning right here, so it was in there.
We
did not bring it up.
We didn't even get it up there.
Just more than three loads?
Yeah. Huh. That's the reason it comes to you. You want more than three loads otherwise.
Yeah.
Danny, what do you think? You're hesitant?
No, I'm not hesitant. It's in a area where we've been working.
Right.
And so if the other gate's locked, will they have to have a place to go with it?
Sure, sure.
Yeah. I motion for approval. Are we... That was where we're posted for that.
We're posted.
It was part of Road and Bridge work schedule.
We got out of it so fast to do this, we forgot to finish this piece.
A motion for approval of dirt agreement.
I'll second the motion between it's us and Bill Daniels, correct?
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to approve the fill dirt agreement as drafted between Taney County and Bill Daniels. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Agenda request?
Mm.
little behind schedule, so we'll have to speed up a little bit here. Not your fault, Nikki. It's our fault, but you're
Thank
the victim
you for
of
admitting
it.
That.
You're the victim of our slowness.
Last week, I sent you gentlemen an email on Forsyth Annexation. It was the second copy of mm-hmm. that email that I had sent you. I do have a map attached. There is a request from the city of Forsyth to voluntary annexation of right-of-ways along 160 from the Methodist Church all the way to the city limits.
Have there been any objections that have been filed with the county commissioner, with the city, that would ask the county commission not to do that?
Not with the county commission. They're requesting a response, a written response, back from the county commission. So it's probably something that needs to be discussed.
State is requesting that, or the city of Forsyth?
City of Forsyth.
Yeah, we'll post it. That's fine. Do you have a draft letter we can come up with? Is there a letter?
There isn't a letter, but I can come up with something.
Why don't you put it on first available time, if you can give us a little advance notice of the letter so we can at least review the draft, if it's Tuesday or Thursday of next week.
Would you ask the city of Forsyth if there have been any protests filed regarding this? And the reason I ask that is I want to be consistent, because I know this came up in Branson and the commission didn't move on that. Mm-hmm. And based upon a petition that was filed.
Is there something on that petition? That gentleman's road's ready was taken in. He is actually in the city limits, the petition. It was an error that he even got the letter, but he's been in the city for years. That road was never supposed to be submitted. Because there's another request, I think. Do you also have that request from the city of Branson?
In here somewhere.
Yeah.
You guys just told me to hang on to it until you came back. And
there's a new request. I know there's the new request with the new roads.
I don't know that I have that.
Okay.
Not the new request.
So I got a copy of it. Okay.
Need 15 minutes for court orders requested by the county clerk's office.
What court orders?
Refunds and personal property.
So abatements.
Mm-hmm.
For That's this year? Or?
I don't know.
Christy has not submitted me the list. I talked to her yesterday and I asked her to send me a list.
Well, my curiosity has asked the same question that Dan just asked. It can't be for 2012 because we haven't been established.
Yeah.
So
I would like to see the list before I agree to a meeting, because I'd like to see the list. Is that wrong, guys? Or is,
no, I don't think so. I don't.
Let's get the supporting documentation first, Nikki, before.
Okay.
No.
This is a possible executive request.
The request be under contract?
It would have to be, because it's an intergovernmental agreement, but
I'm not sure we can discuss it. Maybe. I want the council to tell me today whether or not we can discuss this in executive session or open session. Is
That's
that okay?
Great. That'd be fine.
And that's something that wasn't budgeted, correct?
I haven't seen the letter.
No.
I'm going to pass it on to you.
Okay, yeah.
This wasn't.
Is it?
Don't pass it on to you.
That project wasn't, so.
Yeah, we budgeted $25,000 to do an additional study, is all we budgeted.
Nikki, will you make sure that this afternoon when we have executive session that this is part of? The question of whether or not it should be an executive session is brought up.
That's really the
to
whole
council.
Question.
because if it has to be an open session, then that's where we're going to have the discussion. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
I received a letter from the city of Rockaway Beach on funding request. They're requesting to utilize some of the sewer sales tax monies for a lift station. I don't know how you want to do that now.
We don't.
Is this going to go straight to the sewer department, or do we still have involvement in this?
I mean,
they're requesting to come before you, so that's why I brought it to you.
The question is, when we budgeted, did we in fact budget the incorporated areas under the county share or under those monies to be transferred?
I'm pulling it right now. Is it 780?
Okay.
I don't think we transferred.
780, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That's the revenue expenditures. We did not budget it within the sewer department. We budgeted that from a county commission.
So why did you put it on the agenda?
I'd say put it on the agenda.
Okay.
I would. I think we need to have further discussions as to whether or not those should be passed through for oversight from sewer district. No? Yes?
We just didn't budget it that way. We can, however you want. I mean, it's... Hold on. Yeah, we did. We put it in the commission oversight. Yeah. Okay.
And the question was raised at the time as to whether or not we were going to have oversight or would the sewer district have oversight to make sure that those dollars were expended properly,
right,
since they are capital improvement sales tax dollars for the county. I think accurately it's placed where it should be because it's a county sales tax, but we still need, I believe, to have that discussion.
All right. So we probably had the discussion before we had that meeting. Is that what you're saying, Ron?
Right. That'd be all right. But
so how you want to do that then?
We can have it immediately before. End of scheduling.
We're going to do a separate day, like a Tuesday and a Thursday.
That's fine.
Ron, what do you think?
Well,
or a Thursday and a Monday.
I think that we're going to find out today whether or not we're going to schedule an exec with sewer board, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, today we can chat with council to see.
I guess we're going to hold off until we get an answer today at the executive. So it's either.
We can tell you following that session today.
Okay. For your information, I have executive session minutes for you to review, and then I'll need to post them.
So we need to review those first. Okay.
Just a handful. There's not very many.
Are those all for this year?
Should be.
Mm-hmm.
There may be one that's withheld. That's right. We can look, but yeah, there should. We need to review those. But
yeah, I just want to keep up.
I think we're. We have one from 2 years ago, and. The other thing else should be this year.
Jim, you asked me to put in pseudoephedrine ordinance.
Yes. I would like to have a discussion, if we could, gentlemen. And what I'd like to do first is supply some documentation to you to read up and for us to. I've been asked by numerous people what the county's going to do about what Branson and Hollister have been discussing, which is possibly a pseudoephedrine ban, prescription only. And so what I would like to do is submit some documentation to you guys, and then after that, come back and post. It was more of a reminder. I'm not ready to post it. This was a reminder for me to get you information.
Well, I'll be glad to look at the information. Is it your opinion that the county has any ability statutorily to address this at all?
Yes.
Really?
There's been numerous counties in the state that have done this. For example, McDonald County had one location, was the number top. It was the 10th busiest pseudoephedrine seller in the state of Missouri. The ban went into effect, and they've come off the list of meth users. It's changed McDonald County and their cost of drug enforcement. So.
While you're providing this information for us to look at, provide statutorily where that gives us
the ordinance,
McDonald County, the ability to do that.
Sure. So anyway, just if you'd give us maybe 2 more weeks, I'll submit some paperwork in your folders.
Property and liability insurance discussion.
Claims. That's today. That we're having that meeting today.
We're having claims procedure today.
Yes, this is something this is from you. You gave me 3 things that you wanted to have posted. But this was like before he left.
I think I've addressed everything. Because we addressed the payment. That was the biggest issue. Okay. And then this is the follow-up. I think we're
so
good.
You think
what we have today is what you put on is claims procedure discussion.
And that's
correct.
A follow-up to what
a follow-up of whatever discussion that they've been having.
Right.
Correct.
And I think the other one was the payment, and we have addressed all those. So I think we're good.
Okay, so I'm just going to cancel this.
I'm good.
If you have something else, let
yep.
me know. Time card machines.
Pardon? I didn't hear you.
Time card machines. That was something I just wanted to... I had thought about having time to spend with you guys if you wanted to discuss the possibility of using time cards in the courthouse.
You send me back 30 years, is that what you had in mind?
I was thinking that for me, and at least. Anyway, I think we did it years and years ago. I believe it's being used in one department right now. And we have a very archaic process in which we do timesheets, a very manual process. There is an ability for us to gain efficiencies if we would put in these automated systems that tie into our Mass 90 system so that we could eliminate all the paperwork, the processing, which is a very, like I said, very paper-intensive system, which would give us more accuracy, accountability, and would also be efficient also. So I would like to know if we could have maybe a discussion. I have some supporting documentation also. It doesn't have to be now. These are more reminders. If I can get it to you, I mean, I don't know how else to bring up subjects with you guys because of sunshine. So anyway, I have some supporting documentation that would probably, I think we could see some benefits probably from an accuracy of HR and then from also one of our employees that does the payroll. But I can give you some
patent. So a system utilizing time card, that would be tied to Mass 90.
Right.
Therefore, when you clicked in,
well, what,
the computer actually keeps your time for
what, us. What it would be is, since everyone's issued badges already, you would swipe your badge so there would be no chance for someone to subvert the system by logging in for somebody else with a password. Since everyone has a badge, we could wand it when we at different card swipes in the buildings, and that would automatically start. You'd wand when you go out. And it would all be automatic calculations, and there would be accuracy and tie into our Mass 90.
Question for you. Huh? For law enforcement, for example, for people who are on the other side of the county, do they go to the Road and Bridge building? And
they could. We have multiple ways that there's multiple interfaces that we can use. We can actually use laptops. If you wanted to do a client to a laptop, you can literally log in and log in from any laptop that's in the system. You could be Road and Bridge. There's multiple inputs, the couple solutions that I've looked at.
I understand, but if we had a designated location for
sure.
employees to go to,
we could do it at the airport.
Then Ron could check in at his home.
Right.
Okay, otherwise. Okay.
So we could go to the airport, you could Road and Bridge, Barn, you could go multiple spots.
I'm willing to look at the information.
Okay, I will submit that information also to you.
And then you can tell me
yes.
if and when you want to post it.
Yep. And guys, unfortunately, this is the only way I know how to bring up subject matter.
Well, I understand.
I mean, it's kind of silly. I do have a few things I was just going to bring up for agenda request items. We never made a final decision on the Taney County Health Department intergovernmental agreement.
All right, I have that here.
Right. We have to make a decision to vote to accept, and we've obviously heard from Mr. Berry, but I believe we need to put that back on the agenda for either discussion or for a vote, but either way, I believe we can bring up some of the details in our contract session today because it's terms of a contract. However, I just would like to make sure we need to get something in place because right now we don't.
Okay.
Is that something we could possibly put on next Thursday? That gives us time to do any revisions between now and Thursday, Danny? So next Thursday?
Okay.
And then, Nikki, you sent me an email, and I don't know what to do with it, with the water sprinkler system. We're being told that we need to have a water sprinkler system. When we remodeled downstairs because of all the things we did to alleviate all the possible issues, we did not replace the water sprinkler system back in place because it was a warehouse area. We have now been advised that we have to put sprinkler system back into that space.
Or we have to close the ceiling.
Or we have to put a drop ceiling in.
Yes.
So is that something that we just want to have Renee make recommendations? It's a large ticketed item. It would have to be bid. I mean, our estimates are $13,000 to do a sprinkler system. I don't know what the tile roofing would be.
Who is it that's advised us we have to do that, Jim?
Nikki, is it the fire department?
The bid we got was from Simplex Grinnell, who did some of our original work in there.
I believe
but
it,
the fire...
Fire department who does inspections went to Renee, and Renee, I think, went to
because
Simplex.
Annually we have to have an inspection.
So so we have something in writing from them then that...
I'm sure that Renee does, yes.
I just don't know what to do beyond this part. Do we? What advice do we give, direction we give to the Buildings and Grounds Department?
I'd like to see what they gave us, and
okay.
I'll certainly read that. I'm surely, unless they presented it verbally.
Why don't you get Renee, and if she wants to put something on agenda, let her request it. That way, you know.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's just, if you can get the documentation that Ron's referring to, and then let, if Renee needs to put on the agenda. But
would you all three like a copy?
That'd be
wonderful.
What else, Jim?
That's all I had on my...
Okay.
Danny?
It's fine, yeah.
Okay, that's all I have.
Linda, Tim, Dixie, y'all want to come up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're working behind schedule.
That's fine. Okay. Hello, sir.
How are you, sir?
Good, sir. Good to see you.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Tim?
Good. Good
morning,
Dan.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Good morning again to everyone, and thanks for your time again today. Linda and Dixie and I have been working after the last meeting where we discuss a claims procedure to help the flow of claims, whether they be property, liability, or workers' comp. And there wasn't a procedure in the past, and due to their efforts and mine, we worked together on this and have presented to you today. The procedures for this. What this will help do also is streamline it to where department heads, after you guys agree to this today, as what we're looking for is agreement on this, we would then take it upon ourselves to meet with the various elected officials and department heads in a meeting, go over this with them so they know that there is a procedure, and it would streamline it to where it's not coming to the commission unless it's so deemed needed to be done. One of the things that we did want to cover with you is we put some language in here also on the workers' comp about 48 hours. It's in the second paragraph near the end of it. We've had some issues in the past, I believe, where claims are not turned in a timely fashion, and this would clean it up because of the fact there is actually a state statute that they have to be filed with the State Division of Work Comp within 48 hours of the incident. So that would just help us, again, streamline things and make it flow better for the claims. Also, kind of the last page there that I think would be important for you guys to realize that we're doing, we've set up also a primary contact in Dixie for the property, auto, and workers' comp. And then in Dixie's absence, it flows to Linda. And then if both of them couldn't be here, it would flow over to us as a backup to the county, and we would then come back to Linda and Dixie with it and help the claim again flow through the system. In the event then below that on liability claims, Linda is taking the lead on that. Dixie is the backup. And then, again, we're the third in the system. So, again, we just don't want to see anything lacking or slow down the processing of claims to make sure that they flow where they need to go. And that is the reason for this procedure to be in place. Are there any questions?
Linda, what
comments?
Do you think? We'll be adding this to the
handbook.
To the handbook as you revise it, and this is one of the additional policies we need to to add.
And I'd like to take special notice to the third paragraph, I guess, on the first page that says if you are injured at work, but you do not contact anybody at work and see your own physician, that because you did not follow policy, it would not be considered work comp.
Okay.
And then also,
if we incorporate that, I mean, does that become the law, if you will? Because I know if claims have been filed real late, and it seems that the court judges or the whatever they're called always lean that direction.
I mean, basically, we are within our rights to do that.
Okay.
That doesn't mean they can't.
No, I was just asking that question. I think that's great. Go ahead.
If I may, in 2010, there was some changes in the state statutes with this, and this follows those state statutes of what you can do in denial of claims. Also, it talks about, I believe in here, about such things as running blood tests as well and other things like that, which were all within your realm of being able to do, and you're not doing anything in violation here at all.
Excellent.
And I also added, if you'll look at the next to the last page, something that I think is new, a non-work-related injury illness. Let's say I broke my leg or I sprained an ankle at home last night, that I am required to tell my supervisor that so that we have it documented that that particular injury did not happen here, so that in a couple days or so they can't say, hey, I did sprain my ankle at work. So we want that documented.
In closing with this also, I did want to point out our agency has also automated this. We've talked about this, though, and a lot of our elected officials or people in management spots that would be filling these out, automation is not exactly what they need. So we're going to give them both in paper or they can go online to our website, fill out the forms online, turn them directly in, to print them out, turn them into Dixie or Linda, and then flow through it to us as well. So we're making it as easy as we can for them to report them like they need to be.
Okay.
So.
Plus, I feel with the employee actually filling out a report, it makes them take ownership and realize that we don't reward work comp. That's not a reward. That's something we are required to do, but we don't reward them.
Do we need a motion for adoption of this under a policy?
I think so.
Motion to do so.
I'll second the motion to adopt the work-related injury or illness policy.
Motion has been made and seconded to adopt the work-related injury or illness policy as presented. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed nay. Motion carries. And Linda and Dixie and Tim, thank you so much for putting this together for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that, guys.
Appreciate it.
Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. You gentlemen like to join us?
Okay.
And you thought we were going to be real late getting to you, didn't you? Well, I didn't know if I was going to take a half hour or 3 minutes.
I didn't either.
Thanks for letting me be a part of this today, too. I had called the office on another question for Bob the other day, and he said, y'all were meeting about this, and I said, well, if all possible, I'd like to be there, too, just to be there for support. And
We've asked Bob to do this so we get a general idea of where we're at, what's needed from us, what your direction is going to be, just a general discussion for my edification as much as anything else.
Well, at this point, of course, the amendments that were proposed by the Planning Commission, they were voted upon by the Planning Commission members on November 21st of last year, and I believe they were unanimous in their vote on these proposed amendments. Basically, at this point...
Bob, do you have those in front of you? I didn't bring a copy down here.
Let me...
I was a little harried this morning.
I understand.
Thank you, sir.
I'll pass this down to him.
There you go.
And we've highlighted the items that are proposed additions. Any of the proposed deletions have been struck through. And so really we're showing the language from the entire section in many cases, but the only thing that's proposed to be amended is really either highlighted or struck through.
Let me do a couple of things, make a point and ask a couple of questions even while I'm doing so, hopefully.
Okay.
I know that we went through these with you.
Yes.
And I know that there were some questions. And I know that it's our hope that you will, in fact, go through the entire guidance code.
Yes.
And some of the things that were brought up to you were other than what was highlighted as things that we would like to see addressed in the future. When I say we, I'm speaking about the commissioner. But for the public's edification, what we're looking at today, and I believe today only, is, as you pointed out, the highlighted areas that are recommendations from Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yes.
And for the record, that were passed by P&Z. Okay.
Yes. Now, per statute, the code book or the zoning regulations may be amended by the County Commission by order after there's a recommendation from the Planning Commission, but it does also require that the public hearing be held and that it be advertised at least 15 days prior to the public hearing. We would have to post notices in the courthouse and then also post it in the newspaper.
So that's something we have to post or you have posted?
Well, we can ask them to do it for us, but it has to be.
So it's not been done yet. They're hearing you had did not qualify for that posting.
I was incorrect on that.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was thinking that earlier,
okay.
You have to. The commission also has to do that. We posted one for like.
Okay, so we have to post our own. Okay.
Under our rules, and then we also.
And then it requires the same thing from the county commission as well, from this hearing process as well.
The real difference is it would be open to the public, so the county commission could hear what they have to say,
just like we did.
Yes.
These proposed changes. Okay.
A lot of those have to do with, as you'll see, cleaning up some stuff to make it a little more consistent. There's some things that didn't match in our current code. There's some other items that came before us, just like I'm sure have before you, that said, hey, could you look at this and see if we can't do this a little better that makes sense for everybody in Taney County? And so that's some of the things that we're also trying to deal with there. Just like I'm sure there's some things that aren't in here that we need to deal with, which I want to invite you all, and I think you may already be aware, but next Tuesday, normally it's a Monday meeting, but since that's a dark day on Monday, next Tuesday we're having our regularly annual scheduled meeting to deal with code request changes, to listen to the public about what they may have out there besides this stuff. So that's also available for the public, and quite frankly, we'll take suggestions from the commission anytime, preferably in writing, so we understand what it is that you guys want from us, that you've heard from other folks, to deal with that stuff. We want to make the code, until Bob can update it and, get something out there that's better, we want to make it the best we can for Taney County to deal with. And this is some of those changes in front of you right now that we really would like to see dealt with as soon as possible.
Bob, you talked to, obviously, striking through is deleting. Highlighted by yellow is the new language.
Yes.
What are the blue lettered words?
And this was actually just copied off of the website. And the blue items actually are just highlighted blue on the website because you can actually click on those items.
They're like hyperlinks.
Exactly, yeah. And it's okay. A hyperlink that takes you to that section.
Well, I was pushing it here and nothing was coming up.
Yeah. It's not working, is it?
But yeah, I can just cut it.
Well, we can fix that. We can get you a computer, an iPad there. Okay.
And just to bring this up, I have begun drafting new regulations. I'm not at a point yet where I feel comfortable beginning to hold public hearings, but I have begun that process. One of the things I've tried to do, and I haven't had an opportunity to speak with the Planning Commission about this yet either. This was one of the things we're going to be speaking about Tuesday as well, as the staff put together a year-end report. And as part of this year-end report, we've also tried to put together what we see for the year ahead. And there are a number of things that the staff would like to undertake. And, everything from updating the master plan to a comprehensive update of the code book with the zoning regulations and subdivision regulations, really to even renewing our local approved program through the Missouri DNR. And I've got extra copies of this as well. I emailed these out to everybody, but I just wanted to make sure everybody had a hard copy of this as well. But I tried to use this both as a review.
Are we back on the air?
What happened in 2011, but also I wanted to say, this is the direction the staff is proposing, and I just want to make sure both the Planning Commission and the County Commission are on board with what's being proposed for next year. I mean, just as a general direction, I guess.
Okay. Danny or Jim, do you have any response to what he just stated? If not, I want to ask a quick question.
Go ahead, Ron.
Is it next week, did you say, that you're going to be conducting public hearings for the public, too? Can you tell us what time and what days?
Yes, it'll be this next Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Let's see, that'll fall.
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the 21st, I believe.
It's the 21st.
So as an individual, if I want to come, that would be my time to do that, stand before the – can I do that at that time or no?
We originally had the public hearing portion scheduled for this Monday of this week. We had to cancel that due to weather concerns.
I don't see why there's any reason why we couldn't.
I'm just asking.
Yes.
So the,
normally we have 2 weeks, but with the snow, we canceled the one which we've actually not done before, but it just didn't make sense to have it last Monday. And to have folks here. So we'll have the public hearing, and quite honestly, it's not the only time of the year that we can or would allow public hearing for code questions or questions of that nature. It's just that is a set-aside time. As a matter of fact, per provision of the Taney County Development Guidance Code, amendments to these codes shall be made as provided by law. To provide an annual review of the codes, the Taney County Planning and Zoning Commission's regular February meeting shall exclusively be devoted to. That the items we're talking about. That doesn't mean that's the only time we can do it. It's just we do devote that February meeting to that to ensure that we do it at least once a year.
Okay.
So we actually did it on November 21st also. We had a public meeting with hearings and had some folks there that had requests that day also. So, but yes, we certainly want to hear from the public on requests that they have.
And like he said, the language right now in the code book is really pretty strong, where it says that we shall, hold these hearings in February, basically, is the way that it's worded now. So essentially, every year that time has been set aside specifically for proposed amendments.
Yeah. It ensures that we do it at least once a year, which is a good thing, but it also doesn't keep us from doing it anytime. to, you know, to post and listen to the public, to have either a special meeting or part of our regular meeting to listen to folks about those.
Well, here's a question I brought up to Bob before when we went through all this. You know, if I'm a Taney County property owner and I make up a number of 60 acres, 80 acres of property that I own out there, I want to give my son 5 acres. Now I'm a minor subdivision. And now there are a number of things I have to do by, and I just think that's really, that's my personal perspective, cumbersome on the property owner that's had that, I've had that farm for, let's say, 100 years in my family. But that would be the time for me to come and express my perspective.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, that's what I wanted to know.
Exactly.
All right, okay.
And then we have to weigh and figure out whether it's that issue or another issue, if we can. It would be nice if we could make everybody happy with everything.
Well, and I understand that's not.
But we also have to weigh and go, well, if we do this, what does that do to somebody else that maybe wants to circumvent the regular rules to do something? So, you know, that's why we need to hear those concerns, though, so we can figure out a way to make both things work and, you know, cover everybody the best we can. So
the well, let me clarify that for your edification. I'd had a couple of people that brought that to me, and I brought it up to Bob when we had this discussion. And as I understand it, when we're looking at moving from where potentially the county has been to a more traditional form, it actually gives, which was surprising to me, property owners more rights than what they had before.
I would
at least
agree.
That's what
I really feel that it does, just because under a traditional form, once something has been zoned, once it's been given a zoning designation, it basically allows for anything that falls within the parameters of that designation. So if a piece of property was zoned, and I'm just throwing designations out, not to scare anybody in any way, but if a piece of property was zoned C1 commercial, there would be a list of uses that would be allowed within the C1 designation, where under the current set of codes, you're really seeking approval for a specific use,
right,
or a specific set of uses with a site plan normally.
Either way, I would have to come to the P&Z Commission if I wanted to change that, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now, a big difference, and I use examples pretty frequently, under the current regulations, if you wanted to build a restaurant in the unincorporated county, you would seek approval for a restaurant use, and you would bring in a site plan showing this restaurant, where the parking was going to be for this restaurant, any buffering that, you know, that might be applicable. Under traditional zoning, you would be seeking a commercial designation that would allow for a restaurant, but then it would also give you the ability, if you were a property owner that just wanted to rezone a piece of property commercial, you could do so without having a specific proposal in mind, honestly. So you could rezone something general commercial, and there would be a list of things that would be permissible.
Well, if I'm somebody that owned property and I wanted to go through that procedure because I wanted to sell that parcel, it opens it up for somebody that's looking at it to go, oh, it's zoned
commercial.
Yes.
Commercial, right. And I don't have to put a get and go, I don't have to put a restaurant, I'm looking for commercial property.
And it gives folks the ability, for example, if we have some folks that are, whether they're within Taney County or outside of Taney County, if they're just looking for a piece of property that is zoned a certain way, that's zoned for manufacturing or commercial or whatever the case may be, it would give them the ability to search for property that was zoned in a certain manner without necessarily, if something was already zoned C2 commercial, and their use fit within that designation, if a property owner had already come through the process to zone something C2, it would really give this person that was looking for commercial property the ability to search for that commercial property.
It's certainly giving them the confidence to go ahead and purchase it without having to worry whether or not it would be approved.
Exactly.
After they purchased it. So that, you know, from that standpoint, it's a confidence issue. One other thing that I'd like to mention, just because I've had folks, you know, bring it up to me and concerns, yes. And I'm sure you all have too. Today, and correct me if I'm wrong, today, if somebody has, I'm going to use, as far as zoning goes, the least demanding part on a piece of property, agriculture, you know, as far as we generally look at it.
Yes.
If somebody has an agricultural piece of property today, whether they're farming on it or whether it's just zoned agriculture, and they want to do anything else on it, other than what's already allowed through our code, you know, building barns and doing things that are they can do now without any zoning. But if they want to build a subdivision on it or something like that, they either one of these,
yes.
Now, today, the way it's set up, they have to come see PNZ to do that. In the new system, if it remained agriculture until then, they would have to come to make that zoning change. There really is no – the last thing that I would like to see is any more restrictions. Now, we want to have – maximum protection that makes sense for our citizens that are here today, here for 100 years, here 100 years from now. But we would like to do that with as least restrictions as possible so people can have the liberties to do what they want to do on their own piece of property. There is a balance to that and a fine line. But there really is not any difference, especially on the agriculture area over today and what he's looking at doing later. If you want to make a change to your property, you have to come to us today, just like you would in this one. And so I think that that's a little confusing for some folks, you know, that.
And he's exactly right. When we make a transition to a more traditional form, the first zoning map would actually be based on the existing use of the land.
Right.
And so exactly what he said, if it's agricultural, if the land is being utilized currently for agriculture, then the designation on the map would basically be agriculture. And so essentially, it really wouldn't have an impact one way or the other.
Now, there might be, I'm going to interrupt you for just a second. Okay. There might be an advantage if I happen to
yes.
own 60 acres and I know that a year from now I'm going to put a subdivision there. I had the opportunity at that time as a citizen to come to one of those meetings and say, you know, I'd really rather that be zoned R1, R2 now and get that. So I have an opportunity to ask for that
yes.
at that point, but nobody's going to force anybody to do anything that they don't want to do. It just doesn't make sense for us to do that. I certainly don't think that you all want to operate. I know we don't want to operate that way.
So really, in an awful lot of ways, it actually gives more property. You know, it gives property rights back to the citizens because, and honestly, under our current regulations, if something was approved for a specific use and then that parcel property was sold and you have a new use, you're really supposed to come back and seek another Division 3 permit currently anytime there's a use change where... If you had traditional zoning, once something was zoned commercial, for example, as long as it fell within the parameters of that zoning district, there'll be a list of uses under each district. As long as it fits within one of those uses, they don't have to come back and rezone the property each time. It's essentially zoned until the property owner seeks to rezone it.
Bob, can I ask you, now you may have a plan that says this is what we foresee the county looking like.
Yes.
The commercial here and this here, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's what we're going to do. It's just that's what we foresee. And if people are interested in that,
exactly.
that would be the time to maybe get in touch with us.
Exactly.
Right?
If I'm a developer looking at coming into the county and you have some type of potential or future use plan, or this may grow into a commercial area, that's going to be advantageous to
me. And it's always at the request of the current landowner to do that. You know, but it would be a huge advantage, I would think, from an economic development standpoint.
Right.
Well, and that is the reason that the staff's wishing to update the master plan is normally a portion of the master plan actually deals with future land use planning. And it can be very, very generalized. It doesn't have to be parcel specific. But you can look at it in a very generalized way. And say, well, in the county as a whole, we foresee the potential for this area to be a future commercial area or for this. But it doesn't necessarily have to get down to the point where it's parcel specific. You can just say, just in general form, on this state highway, we see, a portion of this area someday having a commercial potential. But that way, you're exactly what you said. You're planning ahead. You're looking out to the future, saying, as the citizens of Taney County, what do we foresee our county looking like? What do we want to see? Where do we want to see these areas of future growth? Because I think Taney County is a county that's going to continue to grow regardless. It's just a question of, are we going to guide that growth, or are we going to just allow it to happen haphazardly? And I really feel that's my honest opinion on this, that I think Southwest Missouri and especially Christian, Taney, and Stone County really are three counties that are going to continue to grow at a very, very rapid pace. And the intent of planning and zoning is really not to try to tell people specifically what they can and can't do. It's more just to guide future growth and to look at what the citizens of the county actually want to see. Have them tell us, in these public hearings that are held for this master plan, what direction do the citizens want to go with this? What do they foresee for their county?
We had asked you to come back with five or six things that we talked about in the earlier meeting. One of them was the subject that was brought up about the cemetery provision. I don't see that anywhere in here. I guess you plan on addressing that. You said there was a specific...
Well, let me ask you a question. These are things that the P&Z has already voted on. There's a whole host of other things you're going to talk about, aren't there?
Yes, these are things that we passed on November 21st, 2011, and...
I think all the things
we're waiting on you all,
are going to be
quite frankly,
in their meetings.
Well,
yeah.
But go ahead, Danny. Maybe I'm misunderstanding.
Yeah, I think we are. Okay. Because I've been talking about this for 7 years. And November 21st is not the date that I look for this particular thing. I have been in discussion with P&Z about this minor subdivision and the surveying of properties that people own. Since I got into office. So just because this, and I'll address another issue just right after, because it refers to general terms, as you used there, whereas I've been asking about the subdivision deal ever since then. Every time something turns up that has to do with the giving of property or the willing to donate or all those things, those people are penalized by P&Z under our present system because they have to spend their dollars to survey their property. They have to spend their dollars to survey the property off that they're giving away, and they have to form a minor subdivision. I want those things addressed. When we talk about general terms of the master plan, I can give several examples of general terms being used, but when people come before the Planning and Zoning Commission, they read out of this document and they use specifics to say, no, you cannot have this here, or yes, you can have this here. Because I've been to the meetings when those particular sections, so-and-so, code so-and-so, have been used under argument one way or the other. So I want the P&Z document that is presented to the public to be customer friendly, not to prohibit someone because a neighbor or someone buys a lot and builds a home on it, Ron. I do not want them to be able to control everything that they can hear or C from that particular lot. I think it's wrong. People pay taxes on properties, and they should have the right to do what they wish to do on their property without a person owning a lot. I dealt with this in my hunting years of having hunting dogs, and somebody would come in on a big farm that was had been hunted on for generations and buy a lot, and they wouldn't want a dog running any kind of game or anything else across. It's the old saying of, I don't want to buy someone to buy a lot and tell me what I can do as far as they can see or as far as they can hear. And I want that a customer-friendly code book. And I don't want it to be a detriment to the county. As these gentlemen have said, and they've repeated exactly what we need, they want this thing to be something that the public can work with. And it should be a benefit to the public, not a detriment. And so that's what I want the code book to see. As I look through here and see those things as a person giving away, and you brought this up, and it's been brought up before, but if you wanted to give away 5 acres to someone, it should have a road access. It should be available. And it shouldn't be that road access is going to allow them to spot on down through their property and sell lots. But it also should be definite that there should be a 50-foot public road access to a lot. And they shouldn't have to subdivide, and they shouldn't have to survey their entire property, and they shouldn't have to do all these things that I'm saying. And I've been preaching this, but I run up again a wall with it. It's been brought up time and time again. Mr. Paulson was told time and time again about the commission's wishes for this to take place. So that's where I'm at with it, and I appreciate you gentlemen being here. Appreciate the comments that you've made about certain things, but I want to see those things addressed that we talked about 6 or 8 weeks ago as we sit here in this commission meeting, and I want those things, that was before November the 21st, and I want those things implemented because they are urgent, because people are having to deal with those very situations right now. Since I've been in office, I think we've established 3 cemeteries, and there should not be any exceptions to the rule. There should be something wrote here that says that they are either exempt from this proposal or exempt from this code, or if a person, I hope you understand where I'm coming from, because I hear this every day when I walk into a restaurant or a convenience store, how wrong this subdivision law is, and it should be addressed.
It's something that I've only been on the Planning and Zoning Commission for 7 years, I think, 6 or 7. So, I think you're right. I think it is 3 cemeteries since I've been on that have been, and I don't disagree with what you're saying as far as if somebody's going to give a piece of property away to a family member or whomever they decide to give it to, that we don't want to create an undue burden on them. The balance that from my standpoint that I see is, first of all, it shouldn't matter whether they've owned that property for 200 years or whether they bought 100 acres yesterday and they want to give 5 acres to their kids or whoever they want to give it to. It shouldn't matter, first of all.
Okay.
So how do you establish that? Okay, and I'm looking for suggestions, by the way. Not trying to fight what you're saying. I'm just looking for suggestions to make sure we're balanced on this, because what we do want to avoid is me coming in as a developer, buying 100 acres, saying I'm going to give it away, to get around our code that does protect that allows the amount of protections that it does. So we've got to come up with a balance where we don't give somebody a way to get through the items that do need to be protected and watched, you know, for the protection of everybody. And there obviously there's got to be a balance there somewhere. So I'm certainly looking for suggestions for you or anybody else that would help us make that happen. But the best thing, and I'm speaking, as I think you all know, I'm the chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and the best thing that we could have from you all, other than, you know, because you hear from citizens that maybe don't have the time to get to see us or whatever, is something in writing So, because I promise you, if you send me something in writing, we will deal with it. And we'll deal with it in a timely manner. Guarantee it. And that's, my word is good. And so, I haven't seen it in writing. So, I have asked for that in writing before. Send me whatever your requests are in writing. Send, not me, but send the commission the requests. Send them to us so we can deal with them. You all appointed us to help you with this stuff. It's a good representation of the county. It's every township in the county. It's not loaded on one side or the other. So, I mean, we're folks that you appointed, whether you like it or not, you know, to represent you on that. So send us the stuff and let us help you with that. But we need it in writing. If you'll send it in writing, we'll deal with it. It may not be the way that you all want it to be, but at least it'll be dealt with. We can send it to you, just like we're doing with this stuff now. You can look at it and go, yeah, that's going to work. No, that's not going to work. And then you can either approve it, and then it's done deal, or you can send it back to us and say, work on it some more. This isn't good. But we're willing. We're more than willing to get started, but you all have to send something to us first.
Right. Let me apologize for that, because I expect it to be wrote up in a legal manner by a professional that deals with P&Z.
That would be great.
And I expect it to be from him or the attorneys that we've had or the future attorneys that we have, so that it's legal and so that the public can understand it the way it's proposed, not something that is so far-fetched that they can't understand exactly. When they open this code book, they should be able to read it and understand it.
I agree.
And so that's where I'm at. Maybe I've let you down as far as not writing something up. I could write something up, give it to you, but it may not hold water in a court of law.
I'm not asking you to propose what we say. I'm asking you to say, hey, these are the concerns I've heard.
Right.
We can work on it from there. You know, all nine of us together. Now, you're welcome to give suggestions. But and anything that you've heard from folks, hey, this is what I need to see, that doesn't necessarily mean that's what they're going to see. It may not work for everybody else.
Let me go back to what was started here. I sat here with three commissioners when Bob came in before, and there was at least five or six different things, and Mr. Strophus made the comment, automatically said, come back with us with something different than that. Am I right?
You're talking about a year and a half ago or so.
Yeah. Yeah. Those proposed deals should be brought to us to review, because we didn't like what was presented in the code book. And we would have liked to have had it reviewed by the P&Z Commission. This cemetery deal was one of them. The subdivision deal was one of them. The giving of properties away, the restrictions that some of them we found out were DNR regulated that we had to deal with.
Right.
But those are things that I would like to see presented to us for amendments or possible amendments if we can all come to an agreement on it. And I think common sense will reach the point to where we'll come agreement on it. And so that's where I'm at. You say that we want to provide protection. I'm not getting on you.
No, me either.
I'm just talking directly to you.
And I think you can tell I'm passionate about this. I mean, I give a lot of my time
and
energy into this. Mm-hmm. And so I want it to see done the best way possible. I have no agenda in the deal. I just want it done the best way it can be done.
Right. And I understand that.
Yeah.
And I just, but when three commissioners sit up here and make recommendations that those things be brought to us and changed, then I expect them to be brought to us and changed in a timely manner, and not something that was approved November the 21st to be brought to us that doesn't include any of those things whenever it was a time frame that was discussed before that time.
I'm sure you can check in the minutes, but I'm certain that the meeting that you had last time was after November 21st. And so we haven't dealt with that stuff yet. But we'll deal with it Tuesday. You get us stuff, we'll deal with it on Tuesday. That's pretty timely. So, you know, but I got to see something so I don't miss anything. You know, you guys know how it is when you go through your agendas and all that. But this stuff, I'm pretty sure the meeting that you had was after, because you were called because of this.
So specifically by statute.
I believe it was in December.
But, but specifically by statute, we have recommendations from the plan zone that you guys have voted on.
Yes.
And now it's time for the commission to have a hearing to say yay or nay, I guess by page is probably the best way. There's a lot of changes. Would you say it by page?
That was my thought, was actually...
I would say by section, subsections.
At each section.
That's how we voted on them.
Yeah. By section?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the way they took it, is they just actually took it section by section and went through and voted on.
Let me note that I hear Commissioner Strahan's concerns.
Yes.
And I've heard your comments, and it sounds like that we're going to deal with those. My question is, for what you have gone through, and the changes that you are proposing, do the commissioners here have any objections to these changes? I think there, some of it is just cleanup language, as I've gone through it. I mean, that's pretty simple. Or a misspelling. I mean, those things are easy, and they're corrections.
The other one specifically is the duplexes. That's been a joint work with the really a collaborative effort between the developers, the Planning and Zoning Commission, you know, to work with attorneys to figure out what language is best. I mean, I believe that's a true, it wouldn't be 100%, but it's a true collaborative effort to come up to what we've got. I know the people that have been working with you guys to come up with that.
You're talking about 3.13?
I mean, and that's the biggest change on this document here. It's a big addition.
It really is.
Will you explain to us, for the record, the change that's being made here or offered?
The primary
recommended by the Planning Commission?
The primary thing is currently our code book doesn't speak a great deal to duplexes.
Right.
And what we've got is we've got a large number of developments that were developed as condo-style developments. They have condo-style ownership where a person is purchasing a unit, but then you've got this common space that's held by the Condo Owners Association. A lot of these folks are actually, what's happened is the banks just flat aren't loaning on condominium-style ownership at this point, or if they are, they're charging a much higher interest rate. So what's happening is a lot of these developers are wanting to come back, or individual property owners even, are wanting to come back and basically... thinking of the terminology I want to think of, but do away with their condo association, and they're wanting to convert their condominium style ownership to a more traditional form of ownership with a duplex, basically.
Let me elaborate on that. It's today, the only thing we could do in the past with the duplex, if somebody wanted to build duplexes, and there's a place for those, I think you would agree, we had to deal with it by allowing, with our own code, because there wasn't anything in here. The only way we could deal with that was making that a condominium style of ownership. In other words, it's not a condominium like an apartment complex. It's a condominium style of ownership. So the banks will not, they won't loan money on those styles of ownership. They're just not right now with the economic. Plus, you had to buy both sides. You couldn't own just one side of a duplex. So one of the things we've added in here is a zero lot line allowance for them to be able to do that
in a duplex type of form.
Okay. And by doing that, this does make it available for loans through the banks.
According to the lawyers we've had in here and the developers, that's exactly what they need to make that happen.
I know that
it really doesn't look any different.
Styron,
and then the multiple developers work with Mr. Styron, because what the banks are saying is that if it's labeled condo, they're not touching it.
And it looks no different. You drive by it, you would not know, that's a condominium style of ownership duplex, or that's the only other addition in here is the addition. We had a lot of discussion on this as far as all of the Planning and Zoning Commissioners go. It was a very, very much a life safety concern for us to have some type of fire wall in there, because you can't see it. When you go to buy half of a unit, I think it's our duty to ensure some type of safety to the citizens of Taney County, to make sure that we have something here that says you're required to put that in there, because you know, you can tell if there's fire sprinklers. You walk in and see them. You can't tell if there's a firewall if you're going to buy one unit.
So you address it through the life safety needs, which
we do.
Needless to say,
yeah. Our intention here is not to tell somebody how to build a building. It's just a life safety issue.
Let me make a suggestion. If it's the commission's pleasure, that not on a formal basis till the end, but we temporarily mark what pages that look good to us, and then by motion, we will approve the document with exceptions of this, this, and this. Does that sound all right? Or no exceptions?
Just
in other words, rather than going through and approving this and approving this and approving this.
But we have to do that through a hearing, do we not?
Yes.
Yeah.
This has to go through a hearing for us.
That's right.
So we can't.
I mean, we're going to set up a hearing. We're required to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's to a point where I believe a hearing is in order so that we can...
Well, I want to know where I'm at on these things before we even have that hearing.
Okay.
I'm serious.
No, I understand.
Right now, I don't have any problem with this page.
Right.
And I think it's a great recommendation. I heard the arguments before I was even sworn in that Harry made, because I was at a meeting.
Right.
And listened to those, and I just think it makes sense. And I think specifically he was talking to those buildings out in Iowa Colony on the right-hand side overlooking.
That is one of those he was representing, absolutely. Yeah. That's where.
And there's some developers who've got some patio homes that are duplex styles, but they're a condo-style building, and they want to convert them to duplex style.
Right.
And change the financing, and that's part of this also.
It's a huge difference for them to be able to do that.
Right.
And the big reason... And there are a lot of things that we want to propose beyond what's been proposed here, but we've got a fairly large number of folks that are basically waiting for this change to be made.
Right.
They're sitting on these condominium-style townhouses.
We hear from them often.
And
so do I.
And they're calling saying, look, I can't sell this. I'm sitting on this. I can't sell it. The bank won't.
Loan on it.
So I'm sitting on it. I've been sitting on it for quite some time.
Let me ask you from a different perspective. Will this have any impact at all on the way the property is assessed?
I don't know, I'll be honest with you.
It shouldn't.
I don't know the answer to that.
It shouldn't. It's the same use. I mean, and they
really,
it's an ownership style change. That's really what it comes down to.
And the assessor assesses on that cost approach. So, and we've had that discussion early on before, I think, Bobby, even you came on board, is that what we do with planning and zoning should not affect the assessing process because they're two separate parts of the government.
I just wanted to make sure.
My understanding is exactly what you said, that really assessments are made based on use, the use of the property.
Value and not so much... I don't anticipate that, and we've heard in times past from the assessors stating that too. So.
Let me ask you another question, unless you all want to continue talk on that. Go back to minor subdivisions on your bottom of the page, page 4. And help me if I'm reading correctly. The language was, before you're adding, and that's what the highlighted area is, correct?
Uh-huh.
Under minor subdivisions, it says, approval of minor subdivision can be formed administratively. Contains at least 2, but no more than 6 lots. Somehow that doesn't make sense. So before it said contains, but no more than 6 lots? I mean, when you take out what you've added, that's not a sentence.
I do. I see what you're saying. Let me actually pull that up and see how
I think
it's actually worded now.
The word BUT should be highlighted also. I think it used to say contains no more than 6 lots.
And if that's the case, then that would make sense. But
yes, it does. You're correct. It just currently states contains no more than 6
lots. So the word BUT should be highlighted also.
Yes.
So my question is, Bob, by this county commission conducting a public hearing and then making a decision on whether or not they want to approve this, it would be the commission, through the recommendation of planning and zoning, that in fact is the ones creating the 2-lot minor subdivision.
Well, currently,
right now, it could be 1. I mean, no more than 6 lots, right? A minor subdivision is no more than 6 lots.
Yes.
Okay.
But even currently, under the current regs, it looks at it as being any tract or parcel less than 40 acres. So if there is a remainder...
So if I had 40 acres and give 20 years to my son, just an example, mm-hmm. then it's a minor subdivision.
With what's looked upon currently as two lots, because there's a remainder that's less than the 40 acres. Now, and so basically, I think the intent of most of this, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think the intent of most of this, I don't think there was a whole lot...
There wasn't any requirement change. It was a wording change.
Exactly. It was more of a wording change on most of this, or more of a... I think it was intended more to be a clarification.
Well, help me out. So, for example, if it said contains at least four, but no more than six, two wouldn't be a minor subdivision. It still would be under the other language that you were referring to, right? I own 500 acres and I give my son 5 acres. Right now, we think of that as a minor subdivision.
I do see what you're saying.
And it looks like we're going to have a conflict. I mean, potentially. I keep raising this because I've had a couple of people talk to me about it, and I don't understand it, Bob. And I've heard what Dan has said here today, and I heard him voice that before. I mean, there are a lot of things. There are a lot of things I think should be addressed, and I'm willing to chat as well. I've never really been involved in that before, but and the reason I would bring him is because people have brought it up, just so that we could hear it. But I don't understand that very...
Now, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And I'm sorry, Dan, I'll get right out of the way, but based upon what you said, Bob, if I own property and I subdivide part of it off and that part's less than 40 acres, it's a minor subdivision.
Yes, the way it's currently written.
But under this definition of a minor subdivision, it has to have the following requirements. So if the word was at least four, my question is, I could say three or I could say five. Would that, in fact, overrule this other verbiage that you have quoted?
I don't know if I'm following, and I apologize.
All right. A minor subdivision is a division of land that meets all of the following requirements.
Yeah.
If it said contains at least four, but no more than six lots, then my question is, if I want to give my son 5 acres, is it no longer a minor subdivision? Because then you would have two lots.
And
the requirement minimum would be four.
I really think the way this is written, and you feel free to chime in, but I do think the way this is written, let's say you had 100 acres,
okay,
and you gave someone five, it looks to me that unless it was two or more lots, that it's not a minor sub, not a minor subdivision. Now, this also looks at any remainder less than 40 acres as being a lot. So if you had 40 acres and you were to cut five out of it, then you've got two lots because you've got one that's five and then a remainder that's 35.
But in Ron's scenario, what he's saying is that if you cut out two of those and it said four instead of two, I want to make sure, then we would not have to deal with that as a minor subdivision. I think what you're looking at are exploring different ways to help alleviate the issues that we're having now with the request. And there does need to be a line, and that might be a balance somewhere that we could look at. You know, where, because if you got six kids and you give them all one, well, somewhere along the way you're going to have to come in and do something.
Sure.
Because, you know, that might alleviate some of my concerns as far as somebody trying to circumvent the rules, too. You know.
Now, the example that I've heard is that example that I've offered. And at least in my mind, it potentially answers that question.
Well, it's a suggestion I have never thought of. That's why we need some of those suggestions or things like that, that I don't know, you know, what the pitfalls may be off the top of my head, but that's not a bad suggestion at all.
Well, And just to throw this out, I've not
yeah.
indicated this to you either. So, I mean, after the last meeting, I did some research just to see. I just wanted to see how other counties that have planning and zoning, how they're approaching this. And I'll tell you what I've found, and I'll tell you the reasoning. What I've understood was the reasoning for the 40-acre requirement is they were really referring to state statute, to this 137.185. And I've talked to some local surveyors, but the local surveyors actually recommended that I contact the state surveyor and get his opinion. Being really frank with you, he didn't feel comfortable giving me a written opinion because he said it could be construed as a legal opinion, and he didn't want to give me a legal opinion.
Why?
But in talking to him, basically what my understanding was of this was that this statute requires any piece of property that's created that's a 16th of a section or 40 acres or less to be surveyed and recorded. But what I found, honestly, in most of the other counties that have planning and zoning, they basically tell somebody if they're creating, like if somebody's got 120 acres and they're going to split off 40 and sell that to a neighboring property owner, in most other counties, they tell them they have to have a survey, but they normally would not have to have a subdivision plat. But essentially what I found is in Stone County, the minimum acreage was 20 acres. Christians was 20. Greene County's is actually 10. And Boone is 20.
That provision was lobbied for and put in there by surveyors, so that surveyors could do more work, so that it was automatic. You had to have a survey. There's no more drawing up meets and bounds and having your local real estate guy draft that for you. I mean,
I wasn't here at the time, so I mean, I don't know, you know, exactly what.
Yeah, and that was before me.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That it very well could be. And you mentioned earlier, Danny, about making sure that we do have the roads that we need and everything mm-hmm. that we require. So this is just a question, because I'm not familiar with this side of it. If we're able to hopefully get this done, how do we make ensure that the folks that do that, because who's to say that I give my daughter 10 acres of my 100 acres and 5 years down the road they sell it. I mean, I can't, you know, mm-hmm. to whomever. So it has to be up to our county standards, whatever those may be at that time. What requirements do we put on them to ensure that that's the case? So if it does sell, because you never know, you know, what do you all suggest?
Or a 40-foot public easement to it, no matter what it is. If you decide you want to give your kid 5 acres, or if you want to have 2 lots over here that you want to give your kids that you plan on in the future, you have a public road access to it.
And
it
whatever has to be, our minimum road standards
yeah, are. Yeah, and whatever the minimum road standards would be was what you'd implement, and that would be the simple way to do it, because that way no one can't landlock you anyway. I mean, that's a state law.
Right.
And so, but it makes it simple. It makes it simplified.
So, but what do they give? And I'm asking because I don't know. So that's because if we're going to deal with this, I want to make sure we cover our bases. What do they give do they just file something with the recorder? Because they have to do something to file
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
yeah.
all they would have to do is file that with the recorder, and it'll
right.
just be approved administratively through planning and zoning.
Planning
no
and
cost
zoning.
To them.
Right.
So at least we've got a heads up on it. We
right.
don't wanna, we want people going back to the recorder and just doing stuff because we've
that's
had
right.
those issues.
Right.
Where it doesn't look right and nothing's done to our standards. And that's the only thing there is to make sure it's done to our standards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now here's one thing, and I just want to throw it out. One thing in my experience that I've seen in more than one county do is they define, they will actually allow a driveway, and they'll have a definition for what a driveway is. they will allow a driveway to serve a certain number of lots.
Right, but that you really run into some complications with that because what they do, and there's where your restrictions have to come into play, is they build a row of lots on down through there. So you have to make it where it's 40 or 50 feet, whatever your county road standard is, in case someday those people might want to petition it to the county. And if it's not to that standard, they can't ever give it to them, you know. So you can't use driveway. It was brought up. Look, I've spent 7 years thinking about this, so I understand what you might be able to do and what you looked at both sides of the fence and tried to come up with what I thought was fair. And so appreciate that we're just having this conversation about it and trying to work it out. And it's I think Ron brought up a good idea about the four lots or the three lots or whatever we've decided to do so that someone just didn't get caught up in a group of regulations that actually turn people off again. County government, P&Z, and whatever. The government is here to serve the citizens, and if we keep them on that track as service to the citizens, the better off the whole thing is going to be. And
well, the reason I brought that up is because it's the number one thing that's been brought to my attention. And if there was a way to appease or answer that question, then it really takes down a lot of the opposition to what we've got in place or what we want to see put in place. I'm with Dan. The simpler the better. And there are definitely some things that need to be in here. And it needs to be a tool that people utilize, not something to be afraid of.
Dan.
Yeah. Would you see any problem with, because you have thought about this for 7 years, so that's why I want to run this by you. Would you see any problem with, let's just call it four for now, if we have to have something in there that says if you have between two and four, you need to do this. You need to get approval from planning and zoning administratively and record it with the recorder. Something really simple.
Right.
But that if I read that sentence or two, I know exactly what I've got to do. That's what I would like to have in there for that, because that, first of all, at least says, from now until we make changes again, right here, look at this page, and it'll tell you exactly what you need to do. And it is, to me, that's customer friendly. It's specific and simple.
With a recorded public road access.
Right. So you know, well, that would be the approval. That's why I think the approval of administratively, it doesn't have to be our, you know, us, where they can look at that and go, well, you have to check off on this and check off, and if you do, then that will be fine.
Yeah.
You know.
And I do think maybe we would have to be specific, because one thing I've seen from past experience, too, is I've seen instances where I actually encountered a scenario kind of similar to this, where I've seen major subdivisions created
a few lots at a time. Yeah, and I think
kind
of alluded to that.
Yeah,
that's what we want to avoid, so we need to have something in there.
And the establishment of a public road through there that is donated to the public solves that problem.
Yeah. Unfortunately, what we've had is you know, we're trying to solve the folks that really have the problem, you know, the family farms or whatever it might be, wanting to do what they want to do and just do it the right way. But unfortunately, we have to make the rules for the few people that don't want to do it the right way.
Exactly.
And so I'm not worried about the folks that are probably coming to you guys saying, hey, we need to do this. It's the other folks that, you know, that we've got to, unfortunately, write those rules for. So.
Well, and this is a little off subject, but it's really related to this. And it's something I'd really like to speak with the commission about at some point as well, that I've spoken briefly with Randy Hayes about, is right now, and I'll give you a real-life example. I mean, I'll have somebody that brings a subdivision plat in, and they'll want this plat signed off on. They've come through the process.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really any type of sign-off right now that I'm aware of. What I've seen in the past, and I'll give you an example, is whenever I've had let's say it's a major subdivision, and it's going to require roads built to county specifications, whether they're either asphalt or chip and seal, there's been a sign-off where basically there's been an inspection of the road at each stage, and then a sign-off at the end saying, this road was built to county standards, because we normally require on our side a letter of credit or bond, some type of security for the cost of the road. And it's my understanding right now, basically what happens is once the road's completed, Randy's going out and looking and saying, well, it looks like it may be built to county standards. But I don't know. I really think it would be helpful if we could have some kind of a checklist or inspection system just to ensure that we have roads that are built to the standard at the front end. And I mean, it's off the subject a little bit, but it's just related.
Bob, I know we started late. Give me just a minute.
Okay.
What I'd like to do is to bring something else up. Chip has to leave real quick.
And then, okay.
And then us come back, you two and Danny, on this work session. But that's a procurement card policy, which is scheduled for 11. I have been through that. I have looked at the changes that we suggested and we sent, and I looked at the incorporation of those changes by Joanna.
Right.
I'm okay with that. But where are you guys at on that?
I've read the changes, and I'm good.
We can amend it again next week if we want.
I'm good with the changes, and I'm good with the voting on it. I don't know if you had a chance to read it or not.
No, I didn't, gentlemen.
Do you want to vote with it, or do you want to wait till 1 o'clock?
The only changes are what we suggested.
Yeah, I looked at that sheet that we had there, and that's fine.
Right here, these two. That
but now, Jim had a problem with, you just wanted two of those, didn't you?
I only took two of them because I thought those, everything else was kind of addressed. And, but I thought those were the two that I'd like to address, and she did address those.
And the deal with the supervisors, I thought was very important that person be. I'm fine with it. If you guys want to
do it,
approve that, well, I'm fine with it.
You did put that is the language.
Correct. It's not exactly. Yeah, no, it's in there, and that's what Joanna submitted to us.
If you got it right there to read to Dan, and then let's move forward with the motion.
Let me pull it up.
I may have it right there myself. I believe I do.
Sorry about that.
No. I was running a little behind.
And I said, I can wait till. Yeah, I don't have it right in front of me.
Are you coming back today?
Oh, yeah. It's a quick lunch, and I need a little drive time.
Why don't we wait and vote on that then?
One. Then I'm going to do this. Motion to postpone to a definite time credit card policy to 1 o'clock today.
I'll second that motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to postpone to a definite time the discussion on credit card policy, procurement card policy, rather, until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. And, Jim, if you want to leave, we'll go back to this discussion.
Yeah. I'll catch up. I'll be back on time.
I know you all. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I know you all know me, but when I did sit down, I didn't tell. Sean Pingleton, by the way, is my name. I don't know if you have that anywhere in there, but sorry about that.
Make a comment out front. Tell me if this sounds reasonable to you all, and then we'll come back to our discussion of this. I would like Bob to work with Nikki upstairs. Let's pick a date for a public hearing. Are we assuming it would be better during county commission hours or an evening meeting?
I think it's pretty much at the discretion of the county commission, honestly.
I don't have any druthers. I'm just asking y'all's opinion.
Well, we had an evening meeting when we did our discussions, right, so some folks could get there that needed to. And we had a few folks. You know, we gave it all more than the proper notice, I believe.
Yeah.
So maybe it would be better during the day, but it really doesn't matter to us. Whatever you think the most folks that might be interested to get here, because we really do want to hear from folks that have comments. And, of course, this is the stuff that were the requested changes we're talking about, not the other stuff we've talked about today.
What I would like to do at that meeting, because I know it's a meeting that is to be run by the county commission, is to have you there. Because when the questions come up, it's better to have it come directly from the answers from the experts rather than those that have listened to the experts, if you will, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah.
And then when questions arise, we would call on you for the answers. Now, if they want to know what my opinion is, I'm going to give it to them.
Sure.
Danny, does that sound all right?
That's fine. I think that's, you know, and I would rather they would be involved in the public hearing that we have, because I think that if we put it out there that we're going to have one, I think there'll be some people show up here with concerns.
Let's work over the course of the next, what is today, by the way? Is this Thursday? You and I, Bob, over the course of the next 3-4 days.
Okay.
Pick a time that's amenable to you all, that'll work with us, and let's establish that public hearing and set the stage for these to be presented and ask for public input to the county commission. Then at that time we can, if I'm not mistaken, vote during that meeting to approve on the recommendations that have been made by PNC.
Or listen to the concerns and maybe some changes. There may be some changes once we have the public hearing.
I'm sure some other things will be brought up that aren't on here because there's no way for you to be specific, and so I'm glad to be there that day.
We're not going to be able to vote on those, any of those requests.
Right.
What we're able to vote on is what has been submitted to us by PNC.
Right.
Yes.
My hope's that there are others, and I believe that there will be, but then it's also my hope that those are going to be brought up and discussed by PNC.
I think I've got a more clear understanding of what it is, especially your concerns are we've talked about today. We can, I believe, well, no, we can't. Yeah, we can. We've posted that for our public hearing for the land stuff, so we're good there. I believe we may be able to get in front of the concerns that that both you and Danny brought up on Tuesday, and hopefully we may be able to add that to this. Maybe. I'm not sure of that, but we may be able to do that. Well, I would rather get on it sooner than later. I have no problems getting on it as soon as we can.
There are a number of things that Dan would like to see addressed.
Yeah.
I would hope you all continue this discussion we're having now so that we can air those things.
I'm going to go back and listen to the tape, and it's hard to remember all the things that we talked about that day. And I'll go back and listen to those. That day we talked about the duplexes and things like that too, and maybe solutions to that problem.
Do you think you can get me a list of things you'd like us to talk about before Tuesday?
I'll have to pull this tape to get it or pull the minutes on that.
Because we're specifically talking about that on Tuesday, and if I can get in there, I would love to get those other concerns. The best, give it the best shot we can to see if that would work for you all. At least that gets us, even if you get it and look at it, and it's not exactly what we need, you can send it back to us, and we can work on it some more so we can get it right. But maybe we can get you something that will work. So,
does that sound good, Dan?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I'll look forward to getting that stuff from, I assume you'll give it to Bob.
Right away. We'll pick a date. Dan will find these tapes and listen to them and get that verbiage to you. I don't know what those issues are, but... that's great.
At least the way I look at it, that's why we exist, for us to deal with things like that.
Let me ask you a question. On these, Dan, do you have any issues with what PNC is proposing here to us to be discussed at this public meeting?
Well, just the things that we're talking about, the possible changes that might be addressed, like the subdivision deal that we just talked about,
go to page 7 for me. Tell me if you have any concerns on that page.
On the duplexes?
No. At the bottom it'll say page 7.
Okay. The top it says.
Right.
All right. I don't see that. Now, have those where you've got those in this yellow here, would they change from what they were before?
Well, what we've actually done here, and this is currently an issue, is the road standards that are contained in the code book don't necessarily agree with the actual adopted road standards. Mm-hmm. And so what we've done is I've actually taken this chart. The staff actually pulled this chart out of the road standards book, and we're just proposing.
So what this does then is match what currently the county has on file.
It really is more of a housekeeping issue where literally if somebody pulls this code book currently and they don't realize there's a second.
It's in conflict.
Right.
That's
exactly.
If we approve this.
Exactly. Right. There's a conflict between this code book and the adopted road standards currently, because this contains road standards, mm-hmm. but then we have a set of road standards
in
as well.
Code book.
what we've tried to do also, and I don't know if we've caught them all, but because it's a big, but what we're trying to do on all the areas where it's set a number throughout our code that says roads must be 50 feet, we're trying to change those to roads must adhere to current road standards as per Appendix L. That way, every time a road standard changes, we don't have to go back and change every piece.
There you go. Yeah.
So we're referring to this one piece for them to look at instead of putting a number in there. I mean, right. We're trying to do that as much as possible.
You know, I visited the 50-foot issue, and when James and I have a subdivision, and it was approved administratively, we went 10 feet more than what was requested as we platted everything. We also platted a utility easement. It's the reason I put 50 instead of the 40 foot that has been the standard in the county for years, so that you would have some sort of access for utilities for anything in the future. And if you have a 50-foot road easement, you can put it in that 50-foot road easement, or you could set it by with 40 and 10, however you wanted to put that. But it, access of utilities could be, or utilities could be accessed through road easement.
Sure,
that should be in there, because if it's a road easement, you might run up again a problem there. Getting, I run into these problems all the time. Somebody buys a lot, and they say, you're not crossing me to get to so and so over here. You'll have to go around. So if you got a 50-foot road easement, it sets it plain and simple that utilities can be accessed through road easement.
Well, being that I'm with the electric company, I understand exactly what you're talking about, Dave.
So those kind of simple things that are just a matter of language is something that, you know, I wouldn't care to see put in there.
I would like to see it put in. You're talking about the road. I would like it to see put in the road standards, and then we can reflect that.
However you.
I would prefer that we take this document and refer it back to the road standards, so that way when a change is made that you all see proper to make,
it's made there.
It's reflected here too.
And that was a lot of the intent here, was the current road standards. I mean, it's actually, I don't recall how many pages it is, but it's currently several pages. And like, and I said, it doesn't.
It's Christian County's road standards, and it's overdone. I'm just going to make it plain and simple, because I've talked to the commissioners up there.
Yeah.
And it's overdone, the amount of restrictions that you have with the county to meet the county standard. I think I was an opposing vote on it, and that was the reason, because, gentlemen, not everybody has the finances. If you're a young person and you're just married and you buy a piece of property, if you're able to access that property within a 50-foot road easement, then not everybody has the money to spend $10,000 or, in some cases, up to $50,000 to meet a road standard. You don't even have money to buy a trailer house if you get married like I did whenever I was young. And so those are my concerns. And as you talk about protection for, that's what I look for. I look for protection for the young people and the people that are less fortunate and the poor people that have to buy a lot somewhere and build and put a trailer on it or put a future home on it. And that's what I try to look out for. And I know you do too, but we get caught up sometimes in restrictions to the point that it is a financial restriction on people. And that's the only thing I'm trying to do. I hope you see my side of it. I see yours. Yeah. I hope you see my side of it.
Would you go over to page 9 for me?
Uh-huh.
Page 9 at the bottom. My last question, Bob.
Okay.
Under lot size and frontage requirements, explain to me again why, if you're on public or central, it's 8,000 square feet, the same for single and for two-family dwellings, and yet you jump from 2 acres to 4 acres on...
What the thought here was, and I don't want to misspeak again. Okay. Chime in if I if I've missed anything here, but the thought I believe the thought here was, if it's on municipal or public sewer, that really, the primary reason for the larger lot size when something's on septic is to allow for that lateral field. And I think the concern the commission had...
Well, my question is, we were just talking about duplexes.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a duplex on 2 acres. You're going to have a duplex on 4 acres, according to this, right?
We had we also had a lot of discussion on this, that particular, within the commission, to try to come up with something that would make sense. most of these actually are on public or central sewer, but if somebody wanted to do a duplex on the current, on outside of that, like where I live, and we said, well, should we allow that on 2 acres since it is kind of like a footprint of a home? But from a standpoint of a sewer standpoint, it is two families. And whether they're, you know, that duplex might be 6 bedrooms each. There's no, you know, or it might be 2 bedrooms each. And so the best that we could come up with, because we batted around 3 acres, and so we just thought the best thing we could do is it's two families. So if it's 2 acres per family, we're gonna settle on 4 acres on that. It was a lot of discussion. We really didn't.
Well, if you step down, I mean, I could have a commercial use, and I could have 10 bathrooms.
Right.
And it's 2 acres.
Right.
I just didn't. You've discussed that. I was just asking how we can.
No, those are good points. And honestly, it's one we settled on. I don't know if anybody really thought that was a great decision. Okay.
To go with,
brought that up to me. I just wondered about
to go with that. It can vary, Ron, and I don't see that in the new one, but it can vary according to your perk test on your property. I mean, there's certain acreages in Taney County that a 4-acre lot won't hold one home, much less a duplex. And so those things vary. I don't see that in here. Maybe I'm missing it somewhere, but it used to be you had. You know, personal experience is about the best thing that you can do on these things. And when we did our subdivision and we seen all the things that need to go in effect in that thing and do it to the maximum, when we perked one lot and it turned out to be 2.8 acres that you had, and then it perked another lot and it was 4.3 or something like that. So you see that there's changes that need to be made. And if you perked a lot and you wanted to put a duplex on it, and it was 4 acres, and it wouldn't perk, you couldn't put it on there. That's a state regulation. So you're already covered under those issues, but you have to know that in this book. You can't be putting down here that they can do 2 acres and somebody go ahead and look at that and say, well, I bought a lot saying right here on this county planning and zoning code, and at 2 acres, and I'm supposed to be able to build a home on it. That ain't the case.
Right.
Well, maybe a simple statement in there that one must also comply with all.
I'm just saying that.
I hear you, Dan. Yeah.
And it does say that when they come to us, that is one of our requirements, that they have to comply with the sewer, and along with lots of other, you know, compliances.
And of course, when they're actually coming in for a permit, you're exactly right. I mean, that's going to be the first thing that they actually do when they get that Division I permit to build. Before we even issue that Division I permit, at this point, Scott Sterrett, the wastewater inspector, is actually issuing that septic permit first, just to ensure that we are going to have an adequate, you know, do we have adequate space for these lateral lines? Do we, you know, did the soils test come back? And so, I mean, there are a lot of, there are a lot of DNR requirements even that aren't necessarily addressed in the code book. But any time that I work with anybody, you know, we try to lead them through all of this, because, you know, the DNR has subdivision regulations as well.
Let me tell you, though, I want to get back to where we started. We want this simple. If somebody comes in and gets a code book, I want that statement put in there at the bottom of it that this may vary according to state or EPA regulations or DNR regulations, because somebody comes in and they get this book and they're going
to
go out and buy them a home,
that
and they look at it
that
and they say, okay, you know, I've done everything that I can do, and I still can't get my house built.
You've done everything that the county says you can.
Yes. So
that's you still can't. Okay. We should be able to do that on Tuesday.
Right.
To get you a different document.
Okay. Well, I mean,
sure.
No, little simple things like that would be.
I do remember why, and you kind of alluded to it. I think the reason we settled on 4 acres is because if everything else passes with a duplex, then you can have one owner on one side and one owner. You can't have a common septic anymore. You have to have two separate septic tanks, two separate septic systems. So we wanted to ensure that there was at least acreage to do that and room for the lateral lines. I think that's how we settled on 4 acres.
That was the concern that, and like you said, it got batted back and forth because, I mean, the thought was if it's on sewer, you know, the whole intent behind having a minimum lot size for septic systems is really to hopefully ensure that you've got an adequate space for these lateral, you know, for this lateral field. But sometimes, like you said, sometimes you get in there and, you've got solid rock. And so there may be situations where they
have to use an alternate system.
And somebody has
to use an alternate system. And is that addressed in here also, or is that in the sewer code?
See, it would, right now, it would fall more under
compliance.
Under the state, under the state health department. Because as of right now, our permits for the septics are actually, we're a contract county right now where we have a contract with the state.
But should it be addressed? That's just a question. I don't know. If you couldn't reach the 4 acre minimum, should it be stated that alternative system should be used?
They could go to the Board of Adjustment.
And do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's where they would go to the Board of Adjustment and say, we've got 3.72 acres and we've got this alternative system. Can we get permission to do that?
Yeah. So, okay.
Well, and one thing we run into in the office, I mean, just as an example of kind of what you're talking about, we've got some areas that were platted years ago. A power site is one where they've got a number of tiny little lots that were platted in the early 1900s. They're looked upon as basically grandfathered or legal non-conforming lots. But normally, when I start speaking with some of these folks, it's like, well, the first step you're really going to have to take is to have a soils evaluation done, because even though you've got this little lot, as far as our regs, as far as the planning and zoning regs are concerned, you know, it's a legally non-conforming lot. Due to the state health department septic requirements, you may not be able to build on that. I mean, it may be buildable, but it may not.
They're all over.
Just because of the wastewater.
And all over everywhere else too. We had to trade 4 lots just to build a basketball court.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, Oakmont. I mean, they're all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of these.
Do you have other questions?
I don't know. You did on.
I'm just, as you move through, I think each one of them is good as you move through there and ask questions, and I think that's what the public public hearing would be.
Well, we're going to get together. We're going to establish a date then, Bob. We're going to have the public hearing. You all are going to join us for the entity that's going to answer questions, and we'll move forward. Then the county commission will vote on it.
I really, really appreciate you all moving forward on this, and we'll get on the requests that you have if you'll get them to us.
Would this be something that the... so that you have input, is this something right here that the newspaper would be interested in portions of it as far as the public's going to be involved? But, I mean, if you just put out there you're having a PNC hearing.
Pretty big difference.
Pretty big difference.
Yeah. Over what you're going to hear about that day.
What you're going to hear about that particular meeting.
Well, my suggestion is...
The headlines could be printed, I guess.
When we pick the date to have the public hearing, that you work with the media on what the hearing's going to be about specifically.
We can advertise it specifically even
and say,
well, it's these specific sections or these specific topics.
Addressing
or,
such and such topic.
Yeah.
Rick, I saw that you come in. Did you have some comments about the discussion that we're having? No?
I came in because I thought, you know, I can't get you guys up here.
We moved that till 1 o'clock because we're running behind, and we're going to bring it up for a vote at that time.
All right.
I think we've accomplished a lot here in this little work session as far as maybe understanding each other a little bit better and understanding what we what we had discussed in a meeting versus what we want to get done here. And I have one other question, and it has to do with those duplex homes. I wired duplex homes back years ago in the electrical business back in the 70s before any enforcement of any kind was put in place. And a firewall that was established then, they don't put them in now like they used to, but then they had to meet, and they were state regulated. They had to be like 2 or 3 feet of masonry block up and down the other side as your firewall, which separated your two individual residences and ownership. It was the definite ownership borderline, and it was a masonry wall, and it went through the roof. It didn't go up to roof level and go up where it all looked pretty. It went up, and the block wall was 3 foot over, and no fire could sweep over and burn the roof off your neighbor.
Well, you specifically state here that they've got to have a wall that has a standard of 1 hour and fire rating.
And the staff did have a concern initially about the legality of that, since we don't have building codes. I've not gotten a written recommendation from legal counsel, but upon speaking with Mr. Cotty verbally, he felt that the county would have the ability, as a life safety issue, to have this be a part of our regulations.
Now, it's in your definition of what a complex is how, right? I mean, what a duplex is, not a complex.
Yeah, a two-family residential use in which the dwelling units share a common wall, and then we define wall.
And then we define wall.
The wall of an attached garage or porch, including the wall of attached, and in which each dwelling unit has living space on the ground floor and a separate ground floor entrance. That's how we define duplex. And we define walls, an upright structure of masonry, wood, plaster, or other building material serving to enclose, divide, or protect an area, especially a vertical construction forming an inner partition or exterior siding of a building. So we tried to be as specific as we could and keep it understandable, you know.
And I really wonder if, I mean, you've already got an attorney's recommendation, but I really wonder about the actual, whether it can be a recommendation or whether it has to be a an ordinance or a P&Z code ordinance by us voting 71% to 29% not to have building codes. I have a real concern about whether that can be legally put in. But now, like I said, we got a legal opinion from an attorney, but still yet you have 71% of the people in Taney County not wanting building codes. Are they going to question that?
I don't know. 99.9% of them are not going to build duplexes.
I was going to say it will apply specifically to duplexes.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And I think you see why it's a concern.
I can see a safety issue. I don't want my babies sleeping, my grandbaby sleeping over next door in a duplex, and this side of the house catch on fire. And well, we just had that at Indian Point there.
Yes. Yeah. You know? Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Oh, I hadn't even heard that.
Yeah.
Let's go
and
back.
All seven units. Was it seven?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all seven units burned, I mean, in a hurry, too.
Wow.
If there's a concern with that you think that would be create a roadblock, I'd sure like to deal with that on Tuesday, because this one is huge move on.
Quite frankly, I'd like to hear comments from the public, and if it's not raised as an issue, then...
Okay. So until then, we'll... okay.
Now that
you'll let us know if there's something we need to deal with that on Tuesday. But
during the Planning Commission hearings, that wasn't brought up as a concern. I mean, at that time.
It was discussed, and it was discussed with the exact same concern that you brought up. And I did check, because I want to make sure, because this was the one I was concerned about, whether it would be voted on, passed unanimously by the... And everything that you see here actually was passed unanimously by our commission. I think it was the consent of all of us, including me, is that it is a life safety issue. Because I certainly don't want to see building codes. We're not trying to sneak them in the back door or anything like that. It is strictly, we want to make sure that somebody's grandbabies or babies are as safe as they can be by, you know, doing our due diligence on that. Because you can't see it. And so that's why that was in there.
Just to bring this up, too, it's my understanding that if it's a triplex or larger, if it's a multifamily dwelling,
right,
that the various fire departments
right,
have the authority, mm-hmm. but they don't have the authority to do that with a duplex.
So you've got a multifamily issue, mm-hmm. and the one area that the fire departments don't.
And so they don't have authority there. I think the primary reason that was brought up.
Sure, that was exactly why that was brought. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in there if the fire department's
Is there some state law? Because I tell you, when I word those, and I'm trying to think of the different locations, but anytime we penetrated that wall, we had to do an unusual amount of sealing on the thing. You know, if a piece of conduit went through it or a wire went through it, we had to do all kinds of sealing that was the regulations. I just wonder if it was a state law that prohibited us or if I just went by the National Electrical Code. Maybe
see,
that's what it was.
That's what I'm thinking is, you know, this isn't for people who are going to do things right, unfortunately. I mean, that one little sentence there is not for people who are probably going to, you know, you guys were doing things right and following the National Electric Code and how things ought to be done. We want people to be able to read that right there and say, hey, if you're going to do this, you have to make sure you do this. You know, that's a reminder. Not everybody knows the National Electric Code like they should. And so, you know, says the electrical company guy. And so that's why I think it's important to be in there, just like it's important to have the other thing, hey, you may have, this may not perk out, this, you know, or whatever. I mean, that's another thing in there. You need to do that.
Ron, when are you going to try to, you say you're going to work with him some and then try to set a meeting in 3 or 4 days? We'll try to set a public hearing meeting. Is that what you're trying to do?
Well, you mean pick a date.
Pick a date, yeah.
Yes, within the next few days. I think, Dan, it would be wise if you met with Bob to talk about the different things.
Well, I'm going
to
listen to
you have for them it's time sensitive because they have a meeting on Tuesday.
Yes, and I would love to deal with those on that day. I mean, we already have gave the public the notice, and we can certainly deal with those, and we might be able to get those on here so we can deal with those within the next meeting we're talking about.
What we're going to hear is this, but if they, in fact, can add to this, then that's what they say that they're going to do.
Okay.
And there's really not a reason that we couldn't. I mean,
right.
Basically, you know, as long as it timed out that way.
Yeah. My suggestion then is, or at least for us to consider, is based upon you chatting with Dan and us setting a date, maybe we need to wait till Tuesday before picking a public hearing, because if we're going to run a legal notice and we're going to make comments to the media, they're going to want to know what it is we're going to be hearing.
Wait till Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because we'll have some minutes or I don't know how long. Yeah. Benita usually gets those out pretty quick.
She gets them together pretty quickly. Yeah.
And Bob, you might check and pull that yourself and refresh your memory on whatever that was whenever we went through those issues, because that's mainly where I'm going to go back to. And we had a pretty good discussion that day about what it was. So.
And I know a lot of them we touched base on today with the cemeteries and the subdivision, road access. And I mean, I know, for an example, that some other jurisdictions do exempt cemeteries.
Okay.
I know some, I mean, they basically just have a one or two sentence exemption where they exempt cemeteries.
That's what you brought up last time.
Okay. Sure. I don't see any reason why we can't. That's our meeting on Tuesday is more or less devoted to that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right.
I'm done if you are.
All right. Well, thank you very much. The only thing I want to mention is we ask a lot of the staff, Bob and his staff, and they have been very responsive to what all 8 or 9 of us need. And so I do want to give them kudos for the job that they've done. It's not an easy job. And so we do appreciate you, and we appreciate them. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Yeah.
With no objection, we'll stand in recess until 1 o'clock. Is that all right?
Yeah.